All right, so I want to talk to you about prayer. I've been thinking about something. You guys ever think about stuff?
Yes.
Especially when it comes to the Bible? Really, when it comes to the Bible. Philip, you know, here's my thing. Let's get right into it. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that I have today with everybody, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that you died, you rose again, and you are now seated on the throne, Lord of all, Lord. That your name is above every name, and at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. And Father, we just acknowledge that here today. Lord Jesus, we just welcome you here today. Holy Spirit, we give you a place here today that your presence and your wisdom would be with us. Holy Spirit, I ask you to reveal in the Word of God, enlighten our minds that we may receive life from the verses. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God is real. Heaven is real.
Amen.
God is our Father.
Amen.
If we are born again, we are born of water, our natural parents, and of spirit, right? And everything we get is in the spirit, right? That's where we live, in the spirit, with the Lord in the spirit. God, who is a spirit, we must worship in spirit and in truth, right? Is our God, does he own everything? So he created everything. So everything that exists, exists in him and by him. Doesn't it? Okay. And we are his children. Huh?
In a fallen world.
But we live in the spirit. See, he said in a fallen world, which is great. Because here's where we nail it down. We're going to look at some things here. We're talking about prayer. Okay? So, let me ask you this. Don't shout out loud, okay? Just think. For you personally, forget everybody else. For you personally, is this earth realm real or is the spiritual realm in the kingdom of heaven real? Let me qualify. Which one in your real life, the one you live in, the one you breathe in, the one you think in, which one is the realest, the natural or the spiritual? Excuse me. So the answer, the right answer, of course, if you're a Christian, you would say spiritual. But is that really the truth of where you individually think from? Don't answer, please. Where do you think from? Do you think from natural or do you think from spiritual? I want to go into this. Our Heavenly Father is God. We were born by God, right? Anyone that has been born by God is spirit. If you're spirit, then, and born by God, you can not only see into the kingdom of God, but you can enter into the kingdom of God. Do not answer me. I don't want you to raise your hands. I want you to think. Do you enter the kingdom of God when your flesh dies? Or do you enter the kingdom of God? Do you enter the kingdom of God once you get born from above? Don't answer. Think. I want to locate you. I want you to locate yourself instead of living in religion. When you got born again, born in the spirit, born from above, born by God himself, from that forward on, have you entered into the kingdom of God? Or are you still on the earth waiting that when your flesh dies, you go into the kingdom of God? Don't answer. There are many people that I have met in my life. Okay, if somebody has the talk to bust the gasket, go ahead, you're free to do that, okay? There you go. Get it off your chest. Amen. There's many people that I've met that this is what they believe in their heart, that when their flesh dies, they go to heaven. And I ask them, why do you believe that? I don't know. That's what I was taught. Well, when did that become true for you? There's this unwritten rule in a lot of people that I know personally that believe that they go to heaven when they die. So let me ask you, have you gone to heaven? Are you in heaven now? Or are you waiting to go someday? Don't answer. Think. Think. Now, the people who think that, I can tell them right now, the Bible says you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can tell them right now that they've been conveyed, they've been moved from the natural into the kingdom of God, and they sit in the throne of God in Christ Jesus. I can tell them those words because it's written in this book. But they don't believe it. They want to agree with me and they'll nod their head, yes, it's true. But it's not real at all. What's real to these people that I've met is that they're waiting, they're doing the best they can on the earth, hoping that God will have pity on them and answer some of their prayers while they're here. And they hope that the devil does not take too much advantage of them because they're not quite sure they could actually stand up to the devil if they had to. That's none of you. I'm saying I meet these people when I talk to them. Okay? So if I show you these verses in the Bible, people will say, oh yes, that's in the Bible. But that's not my truth. That's not my reality. So here's my question. Whose responsibility is it? That when I share some things with you here, whose responsibility is it to make it true? To make it'll be true because it's in the Word, but to make it your living experience, your reality. I see several people pointing to themselves. That is correct. There's four kinds of ground. Yes, Matt? Okay. You can breathe, though. You're allowed to breathe, though. Okay. There's four kinds of grounds. We all know that, right? There's the hard ground. Okay, and we know the grounds are the conditions of the heart, the individual, the person hearing the words being spoken, right? So this is their heart, okay? So there's four kinds of hearts inside of each one of us, or in each one of us. We have a heart, and it's usually one of these four types of ground, and different subjects can be different ground. There can be some things that you just believe wholeheartedly and it's working and you are the good ground and you're yielding 100% increase, 100-fold. And some you're doing 60 and some 30. You're increasing because it's the good and noble ground. You heard the word, you understand the word, you keep the word, you protect it until it bears fruit. There are some things you do that with. Not everybody does that though. I just want to let you know. So there's four grounds. Hard, which is like asphalt or concrete. It's the roadway. It's where everybody walks. So the ground's so packed down, the seed can't get any root, and people walk on it. And there's a hard ground. And then there's a stony ground where it's like pea gravel, you know? It doesn't have any real dirt in it. So it props up real easy because the moisture can get to it and the seed pops up, but it can't go deep, so it dries out really quickly in the heat of the sun, and it can't live long. And then there's the ones that bear a little bit of fruit. They hear the word. They're not just, oh yeah, preach it, brother. That's really good. That's the second ground. The third ground is the people who they hear it and they believe it. And they start moving in that direction and they start getting some results. But the love of money or the deceitfulness of riches, in other words, I got to make money, I got to do this, I got to get in. The deceitful allure of money and the things of this world steal their attention, so that thing can't really bear a lot of fruit because they're so busy holding other things in their heart that it can't really produce and thrive. And then the fourth ground is with everything's moved out of the way. You got the rocks out. You got the roots out. You got it ready to go. You're going to protect it, put up guards around it. It goes in. You expect a harvest. You're getting a harvest. You're protecting a harvest. You're eating that harvest. Okay? I am not crazy to think that because you hear a great message up here that it will be changing your life unless you actually are willing to dig out the rocks in your heart, to uproot whatever's been growing in that spot in your heart, and really choose to press in and believe God until you get a harvest. Until you get a harvest. Okay? I'm going to show you some things today that you've heard before, but I have met so many people, and even myself at times, where it seems like the word doesn't work. Seems like it doesn't. But it's because of unbelief that's in our hearts. Not obstinate disbelief. It's, I can't believe that's true. I've never experienced that. Okay? So, I'll let you know, I have taken the time to prove this in my own life. It absolutely works. But I want you to know something. It takes a committed heart. It really takes a committed heart. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Not a lot of people are really committed to having their heart really cleaned up enough to believe God when he says something, that there's no resistance in you. You can just go for it. Okay? Most of us wrestle with the thorns, the thistles, and the rocks that are in the ground. And we are not willing. We protect them. We protect what's already been there. And so to root that out and get rid of it for some people is really tough. And I understand that because I've had to get a lot of healing in my heart from a lot of things I believed that were not what the Bible said. But they were my experience, and so I called it true and real. So, am I got your attention? Are we sober-minded about this? I want to let you know. Go ahead, what? I'm going to read something you've heard a lot of times, but I want to explain something to you. We're talking about prayer. Okay? Is God our Father? Forget the flesh. In the Spirit, God is our Father. Who you are in the Spirit, in the invisible person, the one that you talk to in your heart, is the only person that God is dealing with. He has compassion on our flesh and blood person because the real you is dwelling in the flesh and blood. Right? So since the real you lives inside of the vessel, flesh vessel, right? That's how he deals with us. But we can't live in the flesh and approach God from a position of being in the flesh to try to get our prayers answered. It doesn't work. But too many people that I know have issues in the flesh, and that's when they decide to talk to God about it, is when they have a problem in the flesh, because to them, that's when it's real. Don't answer me. You think, is it real when it's in your flesh? Is that when it's real to you? Okay? A lot of people are so carnal still, they're so attached to this world that it's not real to them until it's in their flesh. And so they judge whether their prayers are answered or not answered according to the flesh. Because after all, that's where their feelings are at. That's where their sight is connected to. That's where their finances and their provision and their comfort and what they call safety is in the natural, in the flesh. And so their prayers often revolve around something happening in the flesh. Okay? Not faulting you for that. But here's the issue. If you're praying from the flesh to get an answer from a spiritual God, you have to wait. Because you may or may not get it. Because your spirit. God is our Father. Yes? He owns everything. Yes? He created all things that exist. Yes? All things belong to Him. Yes? And He's our Father. Right? Then we're rich kids. Let's think about this. Then we're rich kids. If our Father loves us, and He owns everything, in fact, He so owns everything that there isn't anything that He doesn't own. And He loves us. Is that true? I know people who can say that's true, but when they go to praying, that's not how they think about themselves. They do not think they are a child of a king. They are a child of God Most High, and that He loves them. I know people like that, believe it or not. They'll tell me, oh yeah, God's my Father. Oh yeah, God is love. Oh yeah, the Bible is true. But if I listen to them pray, they don't believe that. Just by when I listen to the way they pray. They're coming from lack. They don't really know what it is they want. They just want to be healed. They want to have better life. They want more money. They want pain to leave their body. I see and hear the prayers. And they're coming from a place of not being a wealthy child of the king, a prince, or a lord themselves. If you're a lord, if you're a king, if you're of royalty, what type of a posture would you have? Go ahead and shout it out, anybody. I'll repeat it. Nobody dare talk.
I'm on the throne and you people are down
there. I'm on the throne and you people are down there. Okay. So Matt is actually a tyrant ruler. So, listen, I'm not kidding when I'm saying this. God loves us, and it's His desire to give us the kingdom of God. Yes or no?
Yes.
I see. Absolutely. She says belief in the body of Christ is like such a fluid term. Belief and unbelief, it's like so, it's not nailed down exactly what is it to believe. It's not like concrete. Hope, yeah, hope in America, hope is like maybe it'll work. Instead of expecting with real joy, absolutely I'll have this. Sir?
Well,
Just tell me how you would, you personally.
We're supposed to be different kinds of kings. We're not the kind of kings that glory over the world.
Yeah, that's your own personal story you're adding into it. I didn't talk it about that. Correct. I agree with you 100%. We are not of this world. Okay. Thank you for your comment. Appreciate it. Okay, so moving along. Yes, you can pray for natural things. Absolutely. You have natural needs. You got a body, and the body needs to be taken care of. Your spirit is, take it out of the body doesn't live anymore. You are an incredibly new creation. You were once just humanity, you were just flesh and blood, but now you're also spirit. You have a dual citizenship, we'll say, for right now. You actually have one. You're a citizen of heaven, but you are walking on the earth as a citizen of heaven. Okay? And so, let's go to Philippians, and I think I'll make very clear your point. In Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. So, I want to paint this picture. God owns everything, and it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God, okay? And He's our Father, and there's nothing He will withhold from us, nothing. But we've got to ferret out whatever is in our minds that is different than that. We have to take the time to move the rocks and the roots out of the way so that the soil can actually produce. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So, in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice." Stop. Let's look at that for a second. How can you possibly rejoice in the Lord always? You're probably thinking, this means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and one quarter days a year. Right? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about knowing that God is so good and will withhold nothing from you that you're almost giddy with happiness and excitement and joy to rejoice in the quality of life that you now have. Because we've now left the flesh and we've moved into the spirit in our identity, in our sonship, in who we are. We're no longer from here looking up to a God seated in a heavenly realm as a slave or a servant trying to worship a God way up there, but we've been moved, it said, and conveyed that we've been sat next to Him in heavenly places. We have to get that in our heart to be true. And when you do, you can rejoice always, because what would be withheld from you? Really, what would be withheld from you if you've got a great parent who loves you, who has endless resources, that your own house, they pave your circular driveway in gold bullion. Okay? Diamonds are the pea gravel in your yard. Pearl is your door on your house. Really? nothing will be withheld from you. That you would, there's not anything that money could buy that you couldn't possess because of who your Father is. Okay? A lot of us have such a damaged idea of who we are that we literally come in prayer steeped in condemnation and unbelief, feeling unworthy. The second verse, in verse 5, look at this. This is where Carlos, I believe, was coming from. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. This word gentleness can also be appropriate. It means that you are filthy rich. No, you are wonderfully clean rich. What's the opposite of filthy in a godly way? What's the godly way of filthy in the world? But not undamaged, you know. Righteously rich in the spirit and in as who you are. But we don't live in opulence. We don't live in, well, I think I'm going to go by me. Lord, I pray for an aircraft carrier to house my personal B-52 bomber that I would like to own my own country. Because, Father, you own everything, so I think I would enjoy, let's see, the Caribbean. But also, I want you to put a pressure area around the Caribbean that no more bad weather comes to the Caribbean, okay? It's protected. Since you're God of all and I'm your son, okay? That opulent, arrogant, wasteful lavishness, okay? It says, don't. Let your modesty be made known. Let your appropriateness. Now, appropriate, I don't know if it's appropriate or appropriate. I don't know which it is, but in the verb tense, it means get all you can get. Boom, 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 boom. Get all that you can get. But this isn't in the verb tense. This is an adjective. And this means modesty, gentleness, appropriate as a person who represents the Most High God. Appropriate. So though your dad is a king, you're not one of those nose in the air kind of wasteful, squandering persons, okay? So let this be made known to everyone. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Let me rephrase that. The Lord is huggably close. Your Father is huggably close, squeezably next to you. The Lord is at hand. Okay? This is setting a picture for what it's like when we pray. So if we look at Jesus, he didn't do anything he didn't see his Father do. He was so close to the Father that the Father was showing him moment by moment, day by day. I don't know how frequently he showed him, but he did everything that the Father showed him to do. That's how close they were. He spoke what was told him by the Father. That's how close they were. And they still are. Okay? In this broken humanity called the earth that we live in, people are so broken that they separate from others and live in isolation in the same rooms. But their hearts are so filled with condemnation, shame, rejections, and disappointments that they don't know how to really love from the depths of their hearts the people around them. Jesus could love from the depths of his heart his Heavenly Father and all of us. He put all of us above himself because of the relationship he had with the Father. Okay? And Jesus did, he spoke and saw and did what the Father showed him. And it was the Father that did the works through him because of the closeness of their relationship. Is that true or false? That's true. So therefore, it's the Lord's will in John chapter 17 that we would be one even as they are one, that you love me, I love you. I'm able to be truthful with you. You're able to be truthful with me because now we're Christians, it says in Ephesians. So now we don't lie to one another anymore, right? So now we are able to be honest and vulnerable with one another. If that just creeps you out here and that, you got stuff in your heart still. Okay? And if that stuff is in your heart, it separates you from being unified with this kind of a loving Father that will lavish upon you whatever you ask for. So you already have condemnation between you and Him. So now it can't be a heart-to-heart relationship. Now it's got to be a head relationship because the heart shut down. Okay? And that's not how the flow of the life of God goes. The Bible says the flow of the life of God comes up from inside of us and comes up as a fountain of living water unto eternal life. It springs up to eternal life. So that means that we have to get rid of the junk in our heart that is in the way from us absolutely just believing God that it's true, that whatever you ask for, yes, you can have it. Going on. We'll go to the next verse, verse 6. I still haven't gotten to Philippians yet, and we're already this far along. So, in verse 6 it says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I've already taught this a few times. What does it mean to be anxious for nothing?
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about what?
Don't
worry about anything. 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 I've had some opportunities just in the last few days where fear and worry is trying to rise up in my heart over a situation. Okay? That's a thorn because it pricks me every so often. I'll be sleeping soundly and the thought will come to me and all of a sudden it wants me to worry and be fearful about something. You know what I have to do? I have to do the Bible. I have to take that thought captive and hold it and look at what it is and say, no, Jesus is my Lord. God is my Father. He's got this. No, I will not carry it. I will not carry this. And I let it go. And sometimes if it's in me big, I got to do it several times sometimes. Because it's big inside of me and I got to know I will not carry this. Father, you love me. You've taken care of this. I trust you completely. It's over. And I move along. And if I have to worship or pray in tongues or sing and dance until that the strength of that thing diminishes, then that's what I've got to do. But I've got to press in until it's gone. Draw near to God. Well, actually it says... resist the devil, and then what?
He will flee from you.
And then he will flee from me. I've got to do my resisting part. When he comes with that thing, I have got to say, no, no. God is my Father. The answers to my prayers are yes and amen. No. Pain, no. Fear, no. I will not worry about that. No. And I grab a hold of myself. We're pulling rocks and dirt out of the ground right now. No, I will not. God's got this. No. And I have to be strong with myself. I have to resist it. Because it wants to find a place in me that I will agree with it and go, oh, I hurt. Oh, I don't feel good. Oh, this bill's coming due pretty soon. Oh. These people over here. Oh, politics. We could worry about anything. Whatever's in your heart will be the things that the devil will find to cause you to worry about. Okay? So we have to be anxious for absolutely nothing. But in everything, by prayer, this means auditory chapel, that means by glorifying God as God in his presence. Worshiping God as God. By raising our voice like you would in church to God and glorifying God and supplications, which is your petition I taught you, where you can write it out. You can write your prayer out, but you write it out like a requisition form. A requisition form has no attitude attached to it. The person submitting the requisition does not have to qualify. The requisition itself is merely, this is what I need, and the person you're submitting it to, it's their good pleasure to give you anything on the list. Okay? It's because you got a job to do, you got a life to live, and you need these things on the list. So that's all there is to it. So you present the list. And of course, you get the list right then and there. You get whatever on your list, they go in the back room, they get a cart or whatever they need, they put it on there, and they roll it out, and they have you sign the requisition form, and you get the items. How many have ever submitted a requisition form for anything? So some of you know what I'm talking about, right? And there you go. It's yours. Next verse, please. Oh, let me stay here a second. So that's the petition. That's thanksgiving. Or that's supplications. That whether you verbally or you write it out, you get what you ask for. And since you get what you ask for, and God is so great of a father, you have a heart of thankfulness right then and there, because you're so thankful that whatever I ask for, I get. I just love my father. Whatever I ask for, I get. Okay, I see I've already lost some of you. You say, I haven't got what I've asked for. I've asked for some serious things, and I never got it. I needed some money and I didn't get money. I know people in our church that was praying for healing and they had to go get surgery because they didn't get the healing in their body. And we asked for their healing in their body, didn't we? Yep. So why is it? Because God is fickle, maybe? God withholds from his children. What could it be then? We asked. No, it's not even about saying pretty please. How many of you have asked God, have seriously prayed and did not get what you wanted? How many of you have had important, it was important, and you didn't get what you wanted? How many of you have prayed and gotten what you've asked for? Okay, so if you pray and you get what you asked for, then you know it works. What's the variable between the thing you didn't get and the thing you got? Can you isolate what it was?
Sometimes it's time.
Sometimes it's time, yes. That's true. Some things you can get instantly, and some things takes a while to get to you. Let me just elaborate on that for one moment. Don't let me forget, I'm on Thanksgiving. If you are asking for something in the natural, okay, most likely, not always, but most likely, God's not going to create it out of thin air and present it to you. It's already on the earth, and you and that thing have to come together. Whether he moves you into position to where it's at, or he moves it into position to meet your crossroads, okay, and it will get here. So, if you're praying for a spouse, we'll say, okay, and you're very specific in what you want, all right, that spouse has to exist on the planet for God to give it to you. If that spouse does not exist on the planet the way your prayers are, he has to groom somebody to fit that criteria. So let's just say you single people. That means that if you're believing for a spouse and they have their list of what they're believing for, that means, and you're not everything that spouse is praying for, that means however long it takes for you to line up with what's on her prayer list or his prayer list, that's how long it takes until you can come together. Okay? Because you have free will. And if God needs to change your position a little bit so that he can answer their prayer, you decide how long it's going to be until they get what they're believing God for. See, it's easy for me to say, I'm praying, and God has to work on them. But you have to bring it home. It's me he has to change because I'm the answer to somebody else's prayer. Okay? So sometimes it takes time because, believe it or not, some people want to be the way they are but want the other person to make the considerations. Not here, but there are people like that out in the world. So sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes you're asking for something that it's easy. Within a day you can get it. I'll give you an example of something I just prayed the other day. So as I practice this, praying and receiving, I pray when I am not hysterical. I pray when I am not at my wit's end. I pray when it's not an emergency so I can practice it. Okay? That I get a good track record. That way, I'm never too overwhelmed to pray when something bigger shows up. Okay? In other words, pray about being healthy before you get sick. Does that make sense? Pray about being good steward of money before a possibility of losing your job comes. Okay? Before a devastating, life-changing event takes place. So that you can believe in the tribulation that you're still fine and going to make it through. Okay? So here's a simple one I had just the other day to show you that you can practice on little things. It says, everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Let me just, how much is everything? Some people, he says, about everything we can think of. Some people wait until it's the important things. The big things, the troubles that need to be untangled instead of everything. So let me help you. You know why it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? Because they can trust in their own ability to supply. So for them to actually go in the spirit to God and believe God for something, they don't need to. So they never get their heart to the place that they depend on being pure. The door that opens you to receiving in the kingdom of God is humility. Humility is exalted in the kingdom of God. It is the highest of attributes in the kingdom of God. Humility is. If you humble yourself, God will exalt you. But you have to humble yourself that God can exalt you. That means it's not in arrogance. It's in that moderation, in that gentleness, in that appropriate behavior. Okay? It's not in a prideful arrogance that you ask for anything. It is through knowing how good he is, absolutely, you get it. So, the other day, it was suggested to me, believe God for a cup of coffee. Okay, that means Starbucks. I want to translate for you. Coffee means Starbucks, just so you know. It may mean something to you, but that's what it means to me. Okay? I drink coffee at home. You know what brand it is. Starbucks. So it's just what I like, all right? So, believe for coffee. I'm not playing with you right now. Father, this is how I pray. Thank you. I love coming to you. You're always so faithful to me. Father, I would like somebody to give me free coffee. Father, I thank you that you've supplied that now. And I completely trust you for it. I am so excited to watch how it comes. Amen. Left. In my mind's eye, in my picture, I just aligned myself with that. Someone's going to give me some free coffee. Thank you. I forgot about it and went on my way. The next day, I come to work. It was a Sunday. On my desk is a thank you card. Wow. From somebody that had come around a few weeks ago. On my desk was a thank you card. In that thank you card was a $25 Starbucks coupon. It's a little thing. Let me explain. These things come naturally. You can easily say this. Oh, well, that probably would have came that way anyway, even if you didn't ask for a cup of coffee. In fact, they probably mailed that to you before you, they did mail that before you even asked. So it would have come anyway. So you can't really use that. No, the Bible says that God knows what I need before I ask him for it. I'm not trying to wag my finger at you. I'm just used to doing that. My wife says, stop pointing at everybody when you talk. That's condescending. I go, okay. So I do not mean it that way at all. It's just my thing. So something that isn't a big deal, listen, it's not about disproving why it doesn't work. It's about, does it work? Prove it. So we ask for these things while we haven't got any proof that it's coming, and we just bit by bit by bit, okay? You remove the doubt, you remove the, oh, that doesn't work, out of my mind, and this is where the weeding comes in. You got to get that stuff out. Don't put your story in it. Well, I don't know how it's going to come, so I can't really pray for that because, you know, I don't know the natural ways that it could happen. You got to leave your story out of it. Just what do you need? You're going to get that. Thank him for it and let it go. After you practice doing that, then what you call big things aren't as big anymore because you got a track record for it, right? Just to paraphrase, in Mark 11, you know how God says, have faith in God. We need to do that. We need to trust God that he's that good, that he'll work out the details. You don't need to. I don't need to. That it's the unbelief in so many people's heart that speaks so loudly that they don't even ask for what they need. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Okay? It doesn't say in every emergency. It says don't be excited about anything. Okay, so is this possible to do? This is what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. The word peace of God is irony. It means to join. It literally, figuratively, means prosperous. To be joined with God means you're prosperous. The peace of God, to be joined with God, means you're prosperous. Because what's yours is his, and what's his is yours. What's yours is his, and what's his is yours. And Jesus made peace with God for us. So literally, being joined with God, that his prosperity is our prosperity, surpasses, goes well beyond anything you can think. You can't comprehend it. It's beyond your mind's ability to hold the information. It surpasses all of it. And it guards your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. In other words, tilt. Because I'm connected to God, I don't need the story on how it's going to come. I don't need the story on how he's going to do it. I don't need to tell God, well, he's got to do it this way or that way. Well, God, there's only this much time. You better move. Time's a ticking. It's running out. It's none of that. It's truly when you really know how good God is, and I encourage you to study and pray and get to know God personally. When you know how good he is, then whatever you ask, absolutely you get it. But if the condemnation, the doubt, the inferiority gets in the way, you have to resist the devil. You have to move it out of the way so that your faith is back towards God, so that you know that whatever you ask for, you actually get. Are you with me? Isn't this fun to hear? Yeah, I think so too. Isn't this fun to hear?
Whatever you ask.
This word on this one, with prayers and supplications, with thanksgiving, it actually means to wish. It's prosukamaye, which means to wish towards. The attitude of to pray, really. Let me just read this to you. It's interesting. It's very interesting. It is the word, it means ascension. How do I say that word? Dictionary. A-C-C-E-S-S-I-O-N. What's that word? Ascension. A-C-C-E-S-S-I-O-N. Assertion. Accession. Accessing. Accession. Okay? It means a coming to. An exceeding to and joining as a king's accession to a confederacy. Increasing by something added, that which is added, augmentation as an ascension of wealth or territory. So when you're praying, you are coming, it is the act of arriving at a throne or an office or dignitary. So you are coming, when you're praying, you're actually coming to get something from the throne of God. That's what praying is. Whatever you wish, but in, you know, a modest assertion of what you want. You know, it's not in some kind of opulent, Lord, I want 9 islands. And on each island, I want them to be a small country. I want us to have our own nuclear arms, and we want to be well defended. Okay, that's craziness. That's not what the real loving God's children would actually. So I'm not trying to be foolish or anything, but I'm trying to let you know that it's not in that opulent, prideful thing, but in what you really need, because you know he's going to actually give it to you. You what?
Mercedes.
You can have a Mercedes. God's fine with Mercedes. Yes, Mark. Okay, let me just say this, Mark. If you have faith that he gives you the 10,000 oil wells, you will have them. This is what the Bible says. It has to pass you actually knowing you will get it. It's because you're in such a good relationship with him. You know him well enough to know what he will give you and won't give you. Okay, so if you're asking for a 10th planet to be circling in the solar system, you may be waiting a little while. Yes, Dan?
We can't ask him for Mars or the solar system.
It's basically what's provided for in grace. Right. And again, here's the thing. You ask knowing you're getting it. You ask knowing you're getting it. If you're not able to know you're getting it, you have doubt in your heart. And it says in Mark 11 that whatsoever thing you say, you'll receive if you doubt not in your heart. The problem is, like I shared in the beginning, too many people have condemnation and shame, self-loathing, or whatever the words are, that inadequacy that separates you from a true assurance of the love and the goodness of God towards you. Okay? So that's why we need to set ourselves apart from living in the flesh, because condemnation is in the flesh, and walk according to the Spirit, because in the Spirit is faith and love and joy and peace and eternal life, right? So it's moving into the Spirit and resisting the devil when he wants to make you think according to the flesh, so that you'll have whatever you ask for. And start with small things like a friend that I haven't seen in a long time is going to message me, right? And then you can get a message from somebody. And once you get that message from a friend, you have to say, oh, this works. Thank you. Because all I said was, a friend from my past is going to message me. Thank you. Go on to the next thing. Something simple, something easy to start learning that everything, if through, you're doing it all the time. Let me just tell you that. You're doing this all the time. You're already visualizing things, seeing things, asking for things, talking to yourself, and you're self-sorting whether or not you can have it or whether or not it's coming. We just need to do it deliberately so that we can praise the Lord in it. And as the peace of God guards our heart and minds, he says that we should think on these things. Whatsoever things are good and pure and lovely, of good report, noble, praiseworthy, virtuous, think on these things. How many of you know that's pretty hard sometimes? Have you ever tried to just listen to what you say to yourself for 1 hour? Just for 1 hour, listen to what you say to yourself. Is it, you are awesome? You're one of God's favorites. Well, I know I am. I know, but I recognize it. Well, you should recognize it. It's the truth. Thank you, Jesus. You're welcome, son. Lord, I just love praising you. I love hearing your praises. I think I want to rejoice some more. Go for it. I like to watch. What are you saying in here? I have people come in my office all the time that it is difficult for them to actually look in the mirror and honestly, with a sober mind, say, Lord, you make great stuff. You did really good when you created me. Thank you. It's hard for them to say those kinds of things. It's hard for them to say, Father, I thank you that by your Spirit, I am brilliant. That by your Spirit, I can do anything. Father, by your Spirit, there's nothing that's withheld from me. Whatsoever thing I desire when I pray, I receive it. You're so good, you withhold nothing from me. Gosh, I love being your child. I love that the rivers of revelation just pour through me so easily, and that your eternal life just bubbles up inside of me. Lord, your eternal life is taking so much space inside of me that I feel at times I'm going to just burst from joy. I love being in your presence. Are those the kinds of things you say in your heart when nobody else is around? When you're by, those are the things I say. I practice that stuff. I practice by faith coming into the presence of God when there's no proof whatsoever that I'm in the presence of God. I get myself used to operating in the Spirit. Are you with me? We have to practice these things. The wisdom of this world, the Bible says, is what? The wise things of this world is foolishness. What else does it say about the wisdom of this world? is earthly, sensual, and devilish or demonic, depending on what translation. The wisdom of this world, which is being thrust on you all the time, is of your sense realm, whatever you can taste, touch, hear, feel, smell, and whatever, and is localized to this earth. It's all based in the earth. It doesn't include heaven. And it's of the devil, because it doesn't include the fact that you are righteous, seated in heavenly places, son and daughter above, above creation. You have to renew your mind that you operate on different principles than the world does. You're not a victim for God to dole out what you're asking for. You are awesome. He loves you. That, of course, you're going to get what you want, because you're above situations. You're seated in the ability to create through speaking and seeing. And you create your reality by thanking Him that I have it. That's what the Bible says. If we'll do it, though, we have to practice doing it. Are you with me? So I would encourage you to practice praying. And I would encourage you to put your phone recorder on when you pray. And I would encourage you to listen to the way you pray. And see if you're praying from not having, or this is what I need, thank you, I have it. I'll tell you this one last thing before you go. Ready? According to that way of praying, according to Mark 11 way of praying, if you have a need, that means that's what God wants to give you. If God wants to give you something, you'll experience a need for it, a want for it, so that He can give it to you. You got to get this in your heart, you guys. If God wants to get something to you, you have to have a need or a want for Him to give it to you. So He gives it to you by you asking for it. Father, I need this. Thank you. Oh, Father, I need this. Thank you. Go on with my life. Oh, I have another need. Father, I need this. Thank you. Off I go. Different kind of way of thinking about it. That's how it actually works, though. Just one of these liturgical, religious prayers of, oh, Father, great and good God, the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Really, do you know you're a rich kid? Do you know anything you can desire? He'll be happy to give it to you so that your life can go well on the earth, while you are ministering to others and loving others and helping others. He's going to provide everything you know so that you can increase the kingdom of God while we're on the earth. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. So, I would encourage all of you to look at your own hearts by the light of the candle of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, and to see that when you pray, do you pray believing that whatever you ask for, it's yours? Okay? Another great thing is to do is, while you're praying, engage your whole person, your imagination, your voice, your feelings, your ears. Bring all of you into the presence of God and talk about these things. If you don't believe you're worthy to receive these things, come to the Lord and ask Him to show you what's in your heart that's contrary to this request. And let Him help you. recognize it, release it, let Him wash it out of your heart, and let's go on. It's really that easy. Well, I believe this. I prayed and I didn't get it. Talk to Him about it so that the next time you pray, it's not there as an obstacle in your heart. Are you with me? Too often we wait until the emergency or the big thing instead of just the little things. It says everything, right? All right. Any questions, comments?